Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Three-time Super Bowl champ Julian Edelman is hanging it up after 12 seasons with the Patriots. In a video posted to social media, Edelman said, quote, "I've always said I'll go until the wheels come off, and they finally have fallen off." Tom Brady posted a heartfelt message on Instagram telling Edelman he always, quote, shined the most in the playoffs. Edelman finished his career with a Super Bowl MVP, and he ranked second in NFL history with 118 postseason receptions, trailing only Jerry Rice here. So, Shannon, should he get any Hall of Fame consideration?
Skip, I hate doing this, Skip.
I do.
Because it put me in a very uncomfortable spot because I'm in the Hall of Fame, and then everybody go pick this up. Hall of Famer Shannon Sharp says Julian Edelman doesn't belong. Well, but he doesn't.
Okay, you will not be alone because I'm going to guess if we polled every living Hall of Famer, they'd all say no. That's what I believe.
Skip, look. I understand Julian Edelman has had a great career. He's phenomenal to be a college quarterback, selected, I think, if I'm not mistaken, in the seventh round, and to be able to use every gift that he was given to maximize his God-given ability and become an NFL player, to win three Super Bowls, to be a Super Bowl MVP, is something that we should commend. But to go to the Hall of Fame, the mecca, the heaven for athletes, for football players in the NFL, Skip, that club should be very, very reserved. Skip, Julian Edelman has never been thought of as a top 10 or top 15 receiver. He's never made a Pro Bowl.
Nope.
He's never been a first-team All-Pro, a second-team All-Pro.
Yep.
It doesn't add up. And I think in order, you got to make at least one Pro Bowl to even get on the ballot for a Hall of Famer. You got to make at least one Pro Bowl.
Okay.
Look, I mean, there are so many guys. You look at Hines Ward. Hines Ward can't get it. He got 1,000 catches.
Yep.
Wes Welker got over 900 catches.
Yep.
My brother got just as many catches in six, seven fewer years. Skip, look.
Would be in the Hall of Fame if his career hadn't gotten cut.
Skip, No. To make a long story short and a short story long, I do not believe what he's done because it's too many guys. The list is too long when it comes to receivers and his numbers just don't match up. You got to be great, not just in the playoffs. You got to be great in the regular season also. And I just don't think his body of work is compelling enough to say, Julian Edelman is one of the top. I mean, by the time he's eligible, probably be 400 guys in.
Yep.
Of the 25, 26,000 men, Julian Edelman's one of the 400 best. I just don't believe that's the case.
Okay, I'm going to go on record before I unleash on this. Mm-hmm. There is no way Julian Edelman ever makes it into the Hall of Fame. It is over and done. Will not happen.
You feel comfortable saying that?
I do. Because I have a pretty good feel for the voters, and they will be right in line with every point you just made. They will start with zero Pro Bowls, and that will pretty much end the conversation.
Yeah, yes.
But there is a case to be made for this man. And I'm going to make it here just to demonstrate how strong his postseason case is, mm-hmm. because it's pretty strong.
Yeah.
In fact, it's shockingly strong. It is the outlier case. It breaks all of my rules. I'm much more strict about the Hall of Fame than you are because you're in it. You a lot of times you sit back and say, well, yeah, it's okay.
Right.
Because you don't want to look like the old curmudgeon.
I'm trying to keep everybody.
you don't want to be the grumpy old man in the Hall of Fame and say, no, they don't belong. I'm in it. They don't. Right. They're not me.
Exactly.
And I'm usually the guy who says, that there are two halls. There's the Hall of Fame and there's the Hall of Very Good.
Right.
And usually you'd say a Julian Edelman is a candidate for the Hall of Very Good, but only a candidate for that.
Right.
But he has broken all of my Hall of Fame rules. What's my number one rule? If I have to think twice about you, you are not in my Hall of Fame. That's I'm talking about if I say Tom Brady, well, you just say, yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Like, you don't have to think twice.
Right. Right.
But I can throw a lot of other quarterbacks out there. Right. Phillip Rivers. If I pause for a second, I'm a no.
Right.
But you can make a strong case. Phillip Rivers belongs in
right.
the Hall of Fame.
Right.
But he has what to show for it? Okay. So now we're back to Julian Edelman. Let's start with what Bill Belichick said yesterday, the statement he released, mm-hmm. because it was gushing like I'd never heard this coach right. ever gush about any player this side of Lawrence Taylor.
Right.
Seriously. Mm-hmm. Now, you can say he did this to undermine and undercut Tom Brady, who's now a Tampa Bay Buccaneers Super Bowl champ. Mm-hmm. But Bill Belichick said yesterday, few players can match Julian's achievements, period. But considering his professional trajectory and longevity, the group is even more select. It is historic. In the biggest games and moments, with championships at stake, he reached even greater heights and delivered some of his best, most thrilling performances. That is very, mm-hmm. very true.
Right.
This is gushing from Bill Belichick, right. and you have a lot more respect for Bill than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do we know about Julian Edelman in the postseason? Well, he's second to Jerry Rice in every category.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do we know about Jerry Rice? Well, he's the go-to receivers. Most people, I don't agree with that because I'm a Michael Irvin fan,
right.
but most people concur, mm-hmm. you concur, mm-hmm. he is the go-to receiver.
Yes.
Okay, Jerry Rice played 29 postseason games to Julian's 19, so he played 10 more games.
Mm-hmm.
But Julian is second in every, you know, the catches every, and yards category. But if we boil it down to just yards per game,
right?
Wait a second. Julian's at 76 yards a game in the postseason in those 19, mm-hmm. while Jerry's at 77 yards a game in his 29 games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Catches per game in the postseason. Julian's got 6 a game. Jerry had 5 a game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you got to say, those numbers alone would tell you, well, he's kind of right there. He's mm-hmm. he's at least in the stratosphere with Jerry Rice
right.
in the postseason, right?
Right?
Okay. Let's go to Super Bowls. Let's go to 3 Super Bowls that were very close games, mm-hmm. right? All of them down to the wire.
Mm-hmm.
In the first one against Seattle, Legion of Boom, we've talked and talked about it. He had 12 targets in that game and caught 9 for 109, including what became the game-winning touchdown pass.
Right.
I know it happened with 2 minutes left, and then you know the rest of the story.
Let's skip it with the play that he got concussed, though. Remember, right. he got hit by Cam, and he kept going?
He kept going. And that was after this.
Right.
I mean, I thought he was out of the game.
Right.
And today, he would have been out of that game, I'm pretty sure, right? Then we get to the Atlanta comeback Super Bowl, and he gets 13 targets. He catches 5 for 87. Not quite as great, but he made the catch of catches. His signature catch is the one he caught off his
shoelaces. Yeah, it got tipped, almost got intercepted.
Right? Now, here we go. Up, and you can say he saved Brady's bacon right there with that catch.
That probably would have ended the game.
It could have. It well could have. So he made the catch of catches in that game. And then he comes back against the Rams in one of the worst offensive Super Bowls in the history of the game. And he gets 12 targets and catches 10 for 141. And that qualifies him to be the MVP of that Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's 24 catches for 337 yards in 3 very close down-to-the-wire Super Bowl mm-hmm. games. That's an average of 8 catches for 112 in 3 Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this brings me to Lynn Swann. He finally got in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
It took him 14 tries to get in the Hall of mm-hmm. Fame. I used to live in the Lynn Swann debate
right.
on ESPN in my mm-hmm. early years.
Right.
And you know Lynn probably a little bit.
I do, yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
And He was a for our younger audience. He was a great receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He was kind of like Odell before Odell.
He was making those acrobatic. He was the circus king, and yet he was on the opposite side of that formation was John Stallworth, who's also a Hall of Famer. Yes. And it was a running football team featuring our man Terry Bradshaw handing off to Franco Harris and Rocky Blyer,
who were both in the Pro Football
Hall of Fame. They're both in the Hall of Fame. Okay, so we get that. But how did Lynn finally get in? What case did he have to make in the Hall of Fame? He had a Super Bowl case because he made catches of catches in the Super Bowl twice against my Dallas Cowboys in Super Bowls 10 and 13.
Right.
He made all-time circus catches where I just said, how did you do that?
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it finally qualified him to get in.
Right.
I don't know why it took him so long. We used to go back and forth. Is it because he, right out of pro football, he became a big TV star because he became an announcer?
Well, I think also, Skip, what guys, you have to be careful now. Because what they were doing is that they were comparing Lynn's numbers. What he had, I think he had 300 catches, and you're trying to modernize them. Well, you can't do that. They throw the ball far too much now.
Okay.
So now, Skip.
Because if I do Julian versus Lynn in the regular season, it's Julian all day.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
I got it.
So you got to compare those guys to the era in which they played in.
Okay.
So you got to compare Julian to the era in which he played in. How was Julian? What? He came in 2010, 2009?
Yeah, what's he up to?
Well, 11 years?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you take his 11-year stretch, would you name... I mean, you got Megatron, and you got Reggie Wayne, and you got D-Hop, and you got Larry Fitzgerald.
Yep.
You got all these guys. You got Julio Jones. You got all these guys in that era. And it's hard for me to say Julian is better than any of those guys.
Okay. I get that, because you can't. If you do it, like, in a combine in your mind, the first – let's just – talk about the white elephant in the room.
Right.
He's just a little white guy, and it's just your mind won't go there.
Right.
Like, little white receivers don't get in the Hall of Fame.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Skip, maybe the last one was Steve Largent. You got to go back to, like, 1990, I think, the last white receiver to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
And he caught a bunch of balls.
He caught a bunch of balls.
Dave Craig.
Yes. He's one of the few that's the first ballot.
Yep.
I think there's only been, like, five or six receivers that's gotten in on the first ballot.
Yeah. Okay, so the first time I became acutely aware of Julian Edelman's impact came in 2016. We had just started this show, and we went to the Super Bowl in Houston, which was a Fox event.
Right, correct.
And all week long, we were talking about the two teams, the two offenses. Matt Ryan, as you correctly predicted, was on his way to that Saturday night becoming the MVP of the league, correct?
Yes.
And we would debate... Every day, it seemed like, in Houston, Julian Edelman versus Julio Jones.
Correct.
Who was he's been your best receiver from day one, right?
Yep.
So that season, Julio Jones led the NFL in catches per game. Receiving yards per game. It's 101.
Mm-hmm.
100 yards, so he averaged 100 yards a game. But I kept breaking down and looking at second and third level stats, and I'd say, well, wait a second. On catches for first down on third down, Julian Edelman that season had 24, Julio had 9.
Mm-hmm.
24 to 9, yards after catch. Julian had 505 that year to 423 for Julio, who's way faster than Julian. I don't know what Julian timed. I should have looked it up, but he's probably 4-5-ish somewhere. But he's quicker.
Yeah, he's more quick than fast.
Than he was fast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that year was sort of the pinnacle of Julian Edelman.
You're right.
And obviously he's catching passes from the greatest quarterback ever. But they did have a wavelength, and they ran a whole bunch of option routes in which he would be doubled on if you qualify double coverage as bracket coverage.
Yeah,
Where you'd
you played him in and out.
You might have a corner and a safety or a corner and a linebacker, or somebody would have him inside, outside.
Yeah, correct.
Whichever way you go on your option route, somebody's going to get you.
Right.
Because Brady would just let him choose, and Brady was so in sync with him, he'd wait, boom, and hit him as he cut one way or the other. And you better know each other or it's going to the wrong person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but he was virtually uncoverable that year.
Mm-hmm.
And then he rose and shone in the fourth quarter of that Super Bowl.
Right.
And I topped off the argument then with he had become the fighting spirit of a dynasty. Because you want to talk about a trash talker? You want to talk about fearless? This guy would trash talk anybody. I remember that game, that Sunday night game, Mahomes versus Brady at Foxborough, the big shootout game. And Julian went crazy. I think he had 150 yards receiving, and it mostly was on Marcus Peters, and he was going at him verbally the whole game. Stop me, stop me, stop me. Well, New England didn't have anybody like that. So he provided a fighting spirit because he would stand up to anybody.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm adding all that up as a contributor to a dynasty, and he will never get in the Hall of Fame. But there is a case to be made here, I believe, that he belongs in the Hall of Fame because I read a Boston article from CBS Boston that you really can't tell the story of the 2010s without Julian Edelman in the middle of it in the playoffs. Threw a big touchdown pass. Remember the game they came back on the Ravens, 2014, right, in that playoff run? I don't know how they escaped that day.
Right.
Okay? So he was crucial to them in the postseason. What do you always say? Your legacy is made in the postseason, whether you like it or not. What do I always say? Wake me up when the postseason starts. Right. Show me when it matters. When you push the money to the center of the table in the postseason, now show me what you got. Well, did he not show you what he had every time, every game in the postseason?
Yeah, he's big. But, Skip, it's just going to be hard in a passing era. The guy's 250 in touchdown catches. He's 156 in yards.
Oh, if you just do regular season stats?
Yeah.
No way.
It's going
to
be.
No, it's impossible.
But, for a bill, you got to bring it forward. I mean, before a bill becomes a law, it's got to be a bill. You got to debate it on the floor.
Okay.
I mean, I don't even know how you get to debate with no Pro Bowls. I mean, how do you even get him in the room to have the discussion?
I have a pretty good feel for how that will go that day if his name comes up. I'm not even sure his name will ever be introduced to the committee.
Right.
But if it is, zero Pro Bowls. Next.
Right.
Right?
I mean, because I believe Willie McGinnis has a case, Skip. He's the all-time leader in playoff sacks.
He is.
And he's been to the Pro Bowl numerous times.
Yep.
And Willie can't get a sniff.
Can't get a sniff. Hines Ward has a case.
Yes.
Okay.
Hines Ward caught a touchdown.
He did.
Caught a touchdown with Super Bowl MVP.
He was.
1,000 catches.
He has a big case. I agree.
Torrey Holt.
Yeah. We can go on and on. But there's some transcendence to what Julian Edelman did. And I don't even care about overachievement. That's not a qualifier for Hall of Fame. You just did what you did.
Yeah.
You either did it or you didn't.
Right.
And he did it.
And I think that's why Coach Belichick wrote that. Coach Belichick likes guys that everybody's like giving up. He believed in him and what he became.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen often. No. I mean, the guy was a quarterback in college.
He was.
He gets drafted to play wide receiver, and he goes on, and he's a Super Bowl MVP, wins 3 Super Bowls. He carved out a great career for himself, and he knows that he got everything out of his ability. Yeah, his body betrayed him at the end.
Well,
he said, I
want
to play till the wheels fall off.
We talked about Cam in Carolina. He quote-unquote, Julian did, died for the cause. You want to talk about the punishment?
It's the same
he
thing.
He was the one taking the punishment.
It's the same thing that happened to Wes Welker.
Yep.
When you play that slot and you're involved in all those collisions, when it goes quick. I mean, it's that's a lot of collisions because it's a lot of bang, bang.
Yep.
Like you said, a lot of them third downs,
you know
the linebackers right there. You're going to take that shot.
You're going to take a shot. And the shot he took from Cam in that Super Bowl and got up and kept wobbling ahead.
Yes.
This man should be proud of what he achieved.
Oh, absolutely.
That's all I know.
Yeah. Okay. No questions whatsoever.
All right. No denying that. And no denying that this next guy we're going to talk about, he will be a future Hall of Famer in the NBA.
Yeah.
Steph Curry passed Wilt Chamberlain as the all-time scoring leader in Warriors history last night. Steph passed the Hall of Fame center in the first quarter with 21 points, and he would go on to finish with 53 on the night that included a win over the Nuggets. And ahead of the game, Reggie Miller describes Steph as being, quote, Mr. Warrior. So, Shannon, how impressive was it that Steph passed Wilt?
It's very impressive, but how he did it, Skip, and I've watched Steph enough. Guys like Steph, you can't let him hit them shots like that early. Because if you didn't let two or three go in, well, you might as well just like, okay, let's just try to do what we can, brace for the storm. Let's just batten down the hatches, Skip, because it's coming. You can't let that guy.
No.
Because he's shooting from that kind of distance, and he sees three go in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's over.
And he said after the game, I was just going to shoot it tonight.
And that's what it is, Skip. And he is Mr. Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
The Warriors have had some great players. And I know a lot of people think, you know, the Warriors were bad for a long time. I mean, they had Run TMC. That was, you know, they were good, but they didn't win the title.
Loved watching those teams.
Yeah, Chris Mullin and Tim Hardaway and Mitch Richmond.
Oof.
But, Skip, before then, you go back to Wilt Chamberlain. They had Rick Barry. They had Al Addles. They had some really, really good teams.
Yep.
But Steph is it. Wilt Chamberlain. Now, Skip, it's rare that you find a guy that changes the game. But it's even rarer that you have two guys play for the same organization that changed the game. Now, Wilt changed the game. Wilt was the reason that they widened the free the lane.
Yeah.
Because Wilt was the reason that they did offensive goaltending. Wilt was the reason because Wilt would jump from the free throw line on free throw to lay the ball in the basket, Skip. They said, no, you can't do that.
Just quickly to your point, Wilt played 5.5 seasons for the what became the Golden State Warriors. And he averaged 42 points and 25 rebounds. These are silly stats that I can't even compute.
Yeah, yeah. That's okay. Why, Skip, it's really hard to judge him.
Yeah.
The guy averaged 24 rebounds for a career. Let that sink in. For a career, he averaged 24 rebounds a game. He had a game, he had 55 rebounds. So we set Will to a side. But Steph, all the guys that I mentioned, they're not as accomplished as Steph. With the titles and the way he transcended, the way he's transcended the player, Skip. Because now, guess what? Ain't nobody got their tongue out trying to dunk the ball. No. Everybody trying to launch up threes. Mm. He made it in vogue. There is not a bad shot now, Skip.
Yep.
It used to be guys shot the three-point shot for the most part. It was the end of the quarter, end of the half, or the end of the shot clock. The shots that they shot back then, and people say they're a bad shot, Steph Curry shooting those shots. Yep. And he made it in vogue. So yep. Now we see Luka. We see Dame Lillard. We see so many guys. Now, Steph didn't create the three-point shot. The three-point shot came in, if I'm not mistaken, Skip, 1979. And I think Chris Ford played for the Celtics, was the first one to make one.
Yep.
But the way now analytics are rewarding the three. Now, don't take that mid-range. If you don't got a dunk or a layup, pull it out and shoot a three.
Yep.
Guys are half, Skip, we ever see. Guys have layups. And they kick to a three.
Yep.
Because of that guy.
Because of that guy.
So he's right. He's Mr. Warrior. He's an unbelievable, phenomenal player, Skip. And guys like small guards.
Yep.
Magic. We get Magic. Magic was a transcendent player. We had never seen a guy 6'9" play the point. That's what he was. 6'9" guy, Mr. Russell was 6'9". He was a center. Most 6'9".
Had his way with Wilt.
Yeah.
On
and Skip, and 6'9" guys, you a power forward, you a center.
Yep.
You the point guard. Mm. You look at little Steph.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody says. Oh, man, he too little. He's 6'2", 6'3", probably like 170 pounds. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
That. That's what he going to do.
So I so much agree with the one line that you said early. Steph is it. He is it. That's it. That sums it up. Those three words. Steph is it. I'm going to state for the record one more time. Back before Steph's draft, I used to fight on ESPN with everybody, including our man Chris Broussard. They all loved Blake Griffin, who had stayed 2 years at the University of Oklahoma. I watched every game he played at Oklahoma, and I just didn't love it.
Right.
He could shoot about a one-foot shot.
Right.
That's about all he had. And I kept watching this little Steph Curry, and I said, I'm sorry, I'm taking that man.
Yes.
I'll never forget that NCAA game against Kansas. Went right to the wire. And I
he
got
almost
in,
had him.
Almost had him. I got into it at ESPN with his coach because I criticized his coach, and I still believe that it was the wrong strategy at the end. I got to figure out how to get the ball in that guy's hand. But the point was, if you redrafted today, I'm pretty sure he'd go first.
Oh, yeah, he'd go first overall. Right? Absolutely.
Okay. It is not an overstatement to say he revolutionized the game of basketball with that shot. The greenest of lights, but the greatest of depths that we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And Dame is following in those footsteps, but he's the one who blazed the trail.
Yes.
Okay. And it took guts. It obviously took a coach and Steve Kerr who gave him the green light, but Steve just knew.
Right.
Steve was a really good shooter himself, and he said, that guy.
Yeah, even Mark Jackson.
Started.
Skip, you remember, because when Mark came out and said, well, this is the greatest
greatest duo.
Shooting duo. Man, y'all crazy. You forgot about Walt Frazier and Earl Pearl.
Right.
You forgot about these guys. He said, I'm telling you, these are the greatest two shooters ever.
Yep.
And
he was right.
But Skip, in order to let him flourish, you can't, because Skip, back in the day, if you shot them shots that he was shooting, they snatch your butt out of the game.
Yeah.
But you got to let him go.
You got to let him go. I agree. Okay. And you got to let me go one other place here, because we just talked about the flip side of this discussion, which was Edelman. Mm-hmm. We talked about one topic ago, that all he did was in the postseason,
right,
and you can't even begin to sell his regular seasons.
Right.
Well, this is the flip side, because I've still been somewhat disappointed with Steph in the postseason. And again, this is where your legacy is made, and I'm hoping he gets more shots at this. They got to get Clay healthy.
They got to get Clay healthy, yeah.
And then maybe we'll have another conversation mm-hmm. about this. But I will never be able to forget, obviously, because I was on the other side of with the Rudy interest, what happened with your man LeBron and those Cleveland Cavaliers in 2016. They're down 3-1. And obviously, Draymond got suspended for game 5 back at Golden State. But 5, 6, and 7, this man, this 6'3" man, came up even smaller than he is in all three of those games. He was abysmal in those three. Yeah. I've had Golden State insiders say he was banged up. He was having a knee issue. He wasn't quite right. Okay, I'll give you a little bit of pass, but shoot or shoot. Mm-hmm. And he had you guys on the ropes, and it was up to him to close that deal. He's the best player, right? He's Mr. Warrior. And he didn't. In the fourth quarters of those three games, they had chances all three games. He shot 30% from the floor, which is abysmal, and 25% from three. And he didn't shoot a single free throw in any of the three fourth quarters. That's just wrong.
Right.
He was an overall minus 12 for what it's worth. But the game was game 7, as you know. It was a teeter-totter, back and forth. And in that game, he ended up shooting 6 of 19 from the floor, 4 of 14 from 3, which is 29%. But the bad part was in the fourth quarter when he went 1 of 6 from the floor and 1 of 5 from 3. And if we could just see some of his misses here, these are some of his misses in the fourth quarter. You just have to make...
Especially that was the skip.
That hit nothing but backboard.
Yeah.
And he's banging himself on the head, and we're seeing his misses. This is Steph Curry.
You
got to make that.
You would never, ever expect him to miss that one.
And he missed bad wide left. You know, it's like you can't miss these. You can't miss it that bad.
Right.
Your team is teetering. Finally, Kyrie said, okay, give me the damn ball, and I'm going to make one. And he made one shot, and that was it. And I'll give you a chase down block. I thought it was a bicycle built for two, thanks to J.R. Smith, but that was a big play in the game. But Steph Curry was a non-factor in all three fourth quarters. And then we get to the Raptors finals in 2019. And again, they had all kinds of injuries. As you know, finally KD was gone, and then Klay was gone.
Right.
But the two key games were game 4 and 6, both at his house at Oracle. Mm-hmm. And in game 4, they're down 2-1, so they could tie the series. He went 9 of 22 from the floor and 2 of 9 from 3. But then game 6 is a closeout game that they got closed out at home. They could have forced a game 7 in Toronto, and it went to the wire. And if we could see the shot that Steph missed with 8 seconds left, they're down 1. So this is to put them up 2. And I thought that was a reasonable look from him, and he missed it.
Yeah, for Steph Curry, yeah.
You know, if he makes that, at least we go to a game 7, and then we're back to anything could happen. And I didn't know exactly what was going to happen injury-wise to the rest of them, but the point is, if you're that dude, if you're that magic man at home, at least at home, you got to defend your home floor by making some of those fourth quarter threes. So I just throw it up to you, as much as he is Mr. Warrior, and I concede that, I love Rick Barry. He's a friend of mine. He was for a long time Mr. Warrior, because he was something, man.
Yeah.
Could he score?
Woo. Yeah.
But the point is, this is Mr. Warrior without enough of a postseason legacy, because he's played in all those finals, and obviously he has no finals MVP.
But when it's all said, do you think, where would you rank him as point guards all time? I know you got Magic just number one.
Pure point?
Yeah. I know you got Magic number one.
It's hard for me even put him in the point guard discussion. He's just a shooter.
Yeah.
And he's the greatest shooter ever. I think he's beyond Clay.
Yeah.
Okay? So I don't know how to rank him as a point guard. Although, the other thing, and there was a good story on ESPN.com yesterday, and it's quoting Jerry West, who said, don't underestimate how great he is at scoring the ball with either hand at the basket. He is really good at it. And he's a reasonable distributor.
Yeah.
He'll get you 6-ish assists a game. Yeah. So I don't know if I rank him as a pure distributor. He's not.
No. Okay. He's not one of those. He's not one of those guys. No, he's not a John Stockton, Jason Kidd, Magic Johnson type point guard.
Well, he's not a LeBron James. Tell you that.
No, he's more of a scorer. And a lot of these guys, Skip, are masquerading as point guard. Yep. You look at the De'Aaron Foxes, and you look at all these guys that play Russell Westbrook, that play the Dame Lillard, that play the point guard. They're really two guards.
Okay, I got it. But he's in his 12th year, and this year he's getting the greenest of lights because he doesn't have. There's no more KD,
right.
And there's no Klay.
Right.
He's averaging 30.4 points a game, mm-hmm. which is his career high. They are 26-28, and they are struggling. They had a big win last night. That was impressive.
Yes.
I was highly impressed with that. But still, 26-28, are they going to eke into the backside of the playoffs?
They're trying to get to that 10 spot.
Yep.
Get to the 10, 7 through 10, you got play in.
You got a shot. Yep.
I wouldn't want to face Steph because I know he can get hot. He can make 12, 13 threes.
Can he?
He make 12, 13 threes, then what? You looking around like, coach, what you want me to do? I mean, I'm picking him up at half court, and he's letting it go from the logo.
Yeah. I just hope he gets more great opportunities in the postseason, and I wish he had.
I know where he could come. He could come down south and get him a great opportunity.
There's been some discussion about
that. Come on down south.
Yeah. Some people think that LeBron has been recruiting him at the All-Star
game. We need
game.
A few good men. Mm. But ain't that a slogan? Who
you
had that slogan?
You need a few. You need a lot.
Who did that? Ain't that an Urban slogan? We need a few good men.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if we get that guy,
yep.
What does Smokey the Bear say, Skip? Only you can prevent forest fires.
Really?
It's over. Can't. We burned the state up.
Huh?
Burned the state up.
Really? We're recruiting him as well over there?
I thought you guys went down in flames last night.
No, don't do that.
At Madison.
We don't have to talk about it right now.
No mercy.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The Patriots and Cowboys both suffered seasons below 500 last year, but in 2021, things might be turning around for the two popular franchises. According to Fox Bet Sportsbook, New England and Dallas's win totals for this season both sit at 9.5. So, Shannon, who wins more games this season, Dallas or New England?
Yeah, Shannon.
Dallas Cowboys will be the first team to not have a winning or a losing record. They're going to finish the season 8-1. Really? It's going to be the first time. I got money on that. Fox Bet, let's make that happen.
Who are they going to tie?
Fitzmagic going to beat y'all twice.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to have to because Skip, for the longest time, you know, we say 9-7. Longest time, we say 10-6. Okay. Now it's going to be 9-8 or 10-7. I'm going to say the Patriots go 11.
11?
I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to be conservative. Like I said, I ain't going to jinx it. I'm going to be like you. I'm going to go 10-7.
Okay.
And the Cowboys going to be 9-8.
9-8.
Yep.
Okay.
There's no excuse for the Patriots this year. They've basically done a complete overhaul. The receiving core, Coach Belichick says, we're not good enough. He goes out and signs Nelson Aguilar. They sign, you know, Kendrick Bourne. They said, my tight end group, you're not good enough. They go get Hunter Henry. They go get Jonnu Smith. Defensively, I can scheme. I believe my schemes are as good, if not better, than Wink Martindale. I believe I can get better use out of Matthew Judon than what they're getting from him in Baltimore.
Better hope so.
So for me, Skip, and Cam is a year further removed from surgery, so he should be training instead of rehabbing now. So there are no excuses. Now, they're in a very tough division. Buffalo ain't going anywhere. We're going to talk about Miami potential, what they could possibly do. They might move up in the draft. So Miami, and I believe Miami is going to be good. So I'm going to say I'm going to be conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing Coach Belichick, after a year, that nasty taste in his mouth, 10-7.
10-7.
Yep.
Okay, the irony of us choosing this topic before the show started very early this morning here in Los Angeles is that Mel Kiper has come out with his new mock draft, and we're going to discuss this further in just a little while here on the show.
Yep.
But it applies to this topic because Mel has Cowboys trading places with New England. New England goes up to 10 to take Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
Cowboys go backward. We'll talk about that later. they do get, according to Mel, they would get a first rounder next year, wouldn't help this year.
Right.
Okay, I don't love that for my Cowboys.
Why?
And yet it could muddy the water a little bit for your Patriots, because how quickly would you throw Justin Fields into the fray?
Not quickly.
Not at all.
He's not playing this year unless Cam get hurt.
Not at all.
At all.
I don't know about that. If you traded up to get him, you just might want to get him some.
What part about at all did you get, Skip?
Well, you don't coach the team.
I know Coach Belichick.
Yeah, but Coach Belichick is going to want to show off his prize that he just stole in the draft.
We keep it. We're going to shine it up first.
Yeah. Okay. And the other thing that will apply here is that Mel Kiper also has the Miami Dolphins trading back up to get Kyle Pitts, who's my favorite player in the draft.
Yeah.
Doesn't play quarterback, obviously. I told you he'll be more valuable at his position than any quarterback will be at his. Well, that would put him in your division with your man Tua.
Yeah.
If, in fact, Tua's the guy, I guess they're going forward with Tua. That would be a huge help to Tua to have Kyle Pitts,
absolutely.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that would mean here's how I have the Patriots going. I say they go 3-3 in their division because they're not going to beat Buffalo either time. I'm sorry.
They're going to get one on Buffalo.
No, they will
get
not. And they will split with Miami, and they'll beat the Jets twice. So that gives them a 3-3 division record. Then they have some pretty easy home games. I got them going 3-3 at home, but they're going to lose to Cleveland, to Dallas. Dallas plays there, and that's going to be huge.
I guarantee
for this.
We already got cases on that one.
Okay. I got Dallas in that game.
Yeah, I know you do.
Dak over Cam. I'm sorry. Dak's just better than Cam Newton at this stage and this age. He has better weapons than Cam will have.
It don't matter what kind of weapon you got. Do you know how to use it?
Yeah, we'll be good in that game. We're going to win that game. And then I'll give you a couple other, but you're also going to lose at home to Tampa Bay.
Oh, we got to do it on that, too.
You're going to lose that game. And then you got road games. You got 5 road games. I'm going to give you 3-2 in your road games because you got 3 fairly easy ones at Atlanta, at Carolina, at Houston. You're going to lose at Indy, and you're going to lose at the Chargers. That's what I believe. So I'm going to give you 3-2, and that adds up to 9-8. Then we take the Cowboys. Within the division, I got the best quarterback in the division, and I think even you can't argue with that.
You got Valiant the Sausage. You remember we did it yesterday?
But the rest of them are hot dogs and
spam and bologna.
And bologna, okay? Boy, that makes me sick just thinking
exactly.
about it. Okay, so I got Vienna sausages at quarterback right
now.
Yeah,
that's what you got.
And that means I go 4-2 in the division and win the division. I told you, that's pretty easy. That's just done.
What about Fitzpatrick?
Okay, we'll get him. We got him. He might get us once.
He beat Brady.
I said I'm going to lose 2 games.
You say he beat Brady, but he can't beat Dak.
Well, he'll beat us at Washington.
He'll beat y'all at home, too.
Yeah. And then we have a fairly easy home schedule. You got to give me this. I'm going 4-1 at home because I got Atlanta, Carolina, Denver. Drew Lock, really? He's been schooled by Peyton now. Is that going to change his life?
Guess what, Skip? You know what they're saying? Say, man, I rode. They're looking at y'all on the road. They're like, oh, we got an easy road schedule. We got Dallas.
Atlanta, Carolina, Denver, Las Vegas, and Arizona. We can win 4 of those
games. You losing at least 2. I got you going. How many games is that? How many games you said that is?
4-1. 5. 5 games.
Y'all losing 3 of those.
No.
Y'all losing 3 of those.
And then we go to the road games. We're going to figure out a way to steal 2 of these games on the road because one is going to be at New England.
Lost.
Yep. And we go at Kansas City.
Lost. We definitely got to do on that one.
Okay. At Minnesota. We won last year with Andy Dalton at quarterback. No.
You're going to be better.
Dak owns Kirk Cousins. Just flat out owns him. Just beat him like a Drummond. Like a Drummond who got beat last night. I don't know. Don't get me started on that. But Dak owns him. And Dak, if I got Dak back in the saddle at Minnesota, they can win that game.
Dalvin Cook going to run wild. Dalvin Cook going to have 200.
Okay. And then we have to go to Tampa.
Oh, yeah. We got to do on that one, too.
Yeah, we have to go to New Orleans. But I think we got a shot. We're going to win 2 of these games. We're going to be much better than you give us credit for.
Well, you might be. I had 8-1. I'm thinking 8-9 now.
I just added up 10-7. So I got 10-7 versus 9-8, which I got Dallas winning the division. You don't got New England winning no division.
No, but I got us 10-7.
Okay. 10-7.
Yeah, I got them 10-7. No. Got y'all. At best, you're 9-8 or 8-1. Those are your 2 choices. Now, which one do you want?
you desperately overspent for overrated free agent acquisitions. Everybody agrees with that except you, who overreacted day one, and now you backed yourself into a corner. They're not that much better than they were a year
ago. And you guys are not that good, so you can just stand pat. Mm. How about that? Mm. So if New England overspent because they were trying to get better, you guys weren't good enough to just stand pat. How about that?
All we needed was our quarterback back, and we got
him
back.
I'm just trying to figure out. I've never seen in the history of sports a guy that got injured all of a sudden got better. Now, they wouldn't pay this guy for 2.5 years. They wouldn't pay that. Now he breaks his ankle. Now they talking about, well, you know what? He better than Patrick Mahomes.
Is he better than Andy Dalton? Is he better than Garrett Gilbert? Is he better than Ben Anthony DiNucci, B-A-D?
What about your defense? Are you not going to give up 300 yards, 290, 250, 190, 185, 155? Are you going to stop giving up huge chunks of yards on the ground? Yes or no?
According to Mel Kiper, we are about to land J.C. Horn out of the University of South Carolina.
Did he tackle?
No, he's a corner.
Oh. So y'all can't stop the run. Y'all still not going to be able to stop the run.
We're good. We'll be much better. We still got Neville Gallimore in there, just manning the
floor. Did he do that last year?
Yep. He came on strong at the end of the year.
Skip, y'all got to run out of the building.
Yep. DeMarcus Lawrence will be better. Randy Gregory will be better. Alden Smith just well might be back in the saddle also.
Be better than what?
Yep.
You keep saying they're going to be better than what?
Tristan Hill will be back from injury. We will be better. Wolf Hunter will be better.
Didn't they send Tristan Hill down?
Yep, they did for a while. He's come of age right before your very eyes. Jalen Smith. Yeah, and now I got some safeties. I got Keanu Neal playing linebacker as a safety at linebacker. That's an upgrade. He made a Pro Bowl in 2017.
As a safety, not as a linebacker.
Okay, well, he'll be better at linebacker. He's lost a little speed. He's had an ACL and he's had an Achilles.
What about your line? What about Wolf Hunter? Mm-hmm. Missing tackles left and right.
No.
Jalen Smith.
As long as he doesn't miss games, I'll be good.
Oh, so you want him in the game to miss tackles?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm good. My defense will be 50% better than it was last year.
Watch that two tight end set. Nobody is better than the two tight end set than New England.
Really?
You know that.
Huh. So they got Gronk and Aaron Hernandez.
No,
back.
They don't have
I
Gronk.
Think not.
No.
You're much overrated.
But they got better than what they had the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, except you got Cam and he's battered. He's an old war horse right now. Who can't muster up what we're it's not going to be 2015 Cam.
Well, Skip, your guy refurbished too now. You make it seem like your guy in pristine condition.
He may not be.
Okay, then.
That's a little bit of an X factor.
Okay.
I do agree, but he's much younger than Cam.
I don't go much younger.
Yeah, and Cam will be splitting time with Justin Fields, and you might have some issues.
First of all, he's not much younger than Cam. Mm-hmm. How old is Dak? 28?
I forget.
Dak, no.
Cam, you know, Cam young.
Yeah.
26? Okay. Let me look. 27, Dak.
Dak, July 27. Cam, what, 30? 31? Tops.
What is he? 32?
Just over 30?
Nah.
No.
MVP.
For you?
Okay. Like you tell me, Skip, he's been an MVP. That's what you throw at me all the time with Andy Dalton. He did take him to 5 playoff appearances. He did win the division.
Okay.
I just using the word refurbished for a quarterback, Shannon, I don't know if they're going to appreciate that.
Yeah, that's what he always talked about everybody else, battered.
Yeah, I mean, they're fine. Dak's fine. He recovered. He's rested. He's ready. You saw him throwing the football. He's feeling good.
Can I interest you in that?
Let's be optimistic, Shannon, for now. Please, 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 please. I don't think that Tom, though, is missing his time in New England.
No mercy.